Okay, here we are, and continuing with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number one. Now, I'm not going to forget it, am I? Number 146B, we've been dealing with the abstracted, transcending will, seeing the end from the beginning, yet deciding to limit itself. We've been dealing with the transmitting will, which is, in a sense, adaptive and transmits the necessary energies in line with the plan. It says, stepping down the energies distributed in line with the creative evolutionary plan. So there is a reduction of these energies and a selective directing of the energies in line with what is known of the plan. The plan, of course, the purpose is conceived at the level of the transcending will. The plan is brought into expression at the level of the transmitting will, just the way the plan is realized within the spiritual triad, but originates, let's just say, it is conceived there, but the purpose originates within the monadic level. And now we come then to that this life or this being, this life or being knows itself as the transforming will, or that sustained applied process which brings about the needed mutations and changes through the action of the constant incentive of the will to good. This is really a lesson in philosophy, actually. It's sustained. It has to do with the second ray. It's applied because, you know, it takes up the sun position or the solar position or the position of solar fire. The transcending will has the position of electric fire, and as the transmitting will, a combination of electric and solar fire, and then as the as the transforming will, the central position is the focus and the source of process, and that is solar fire, especially as found within the solar logos, but also as found microcosmically within the soul. The transforming will, or that sustained applied process which brings about the needed mutations and changes through the action and constant incentive of the will to good. So it is not just directing energy, but is changing the relationship of the energies, which must be sensitive to the original descending energy. So it's the sustained applied process which brings about needed mutations. So it's improving quality. This transforming will is improving quality by improving the relationship between the energies involved. Yet at the same time, it is not identified in any way with the process. Okay, these mutations producing transformation of the one into the many, and later in time and space of the many into the one, are carried forward from a point of focused dynamic will. The point in the center, which is pretty much what the sun is, if you see that in the diagram. Let's see here, esoteric astrology, and we're here on page 610. The point in the center, that's what it is. It's the hourglass figure, that's the point in the center. And also, when we look at it microcosmically, it's also the point in the center. The human soul corresponding to the sun. Fair enough. clear enough. All right. So these mutations, it's the, let's just call it the supervisor of necessary mutations, and why the mutations there are needed. Excuse me. Applied process which brings about the needed mutations and changes through the action. Needed mutations and changes, so for the sake of reception. So mutations are here involved. Supervisor of the necessary mutations for the sake of the receptive ability of the lower energy centers. Otherwise, there would be no reception and assimilation. So these mutations producing transformation of the one into the many, and later in time and space of the many into the one, are carried forward under a point of dynamic will. So there is in transformation downward, there is a qualitative splitting of the original energy. And with transformation upwards, there is a qualitative re-amalgamation, a fusing together of the diversified energies. Okay. A fusing together of the diversified energies. He did, you know, this is not just a pattern of descent, is it? It's a pattern of descent and of reascent. So these mutations producing transformation of the one into the many, and later in time and space of the many into the one, are carried forward from a point of focused dynamic will, the point in the center. This is the, what can we call it? The soul point, or the sun point, which changes not but remains ever immovably subject to its own inherent purpose. In many ways, there is the memory of what he said about Leo. And its positivity to circumstance. So, it's the point in the center. Okay. I think there are a number of points in the center, but in the, you know, within the monadic triangle, there's a kind of point in the center which I've tried to relate to life per se. There is also this central solar solar point, which is useful in conducting spirit into matter. So let's say transformation, let's call it this, transformation as qualitative diversification, and later as qualitative re-amalgamation. Qualitative dividing and qualitative fusing. When the disciple or the initiate can stand also at the center as the transforming will, he will then bring about the needed changes in the form nature without identifying himself with it or being himself affected by the changes. This may serve to make everything clear. So one becomes the detached transformer, and this implies that the sun is the detached transformer. All right, then we go further. He knows himself as the It knows itself, this great being, as it descends into different dimensions to accomplish different purposes, as the one is becoming the many. It knows itself as the transfiguring will. This transfiguration is the fulfillment of purpose and the final expression of synthesis brought about by the sustaining will to good of the transcending, transmitting, and transforming will. So it's sort of the fourth stage and most material. And the purpose is here fulfilled in particular. In particular. And there will be a synthesis. Let's just say it has to do with the planets have the third aspect working through them, and this gives a weaving together to produce the intended manifestation. He didn't say much about this transfiguring will. Let's see. Students would do well to shift their eyes off the goal of transfiguration, achieved at the third initiation and increasingly present at each previous initiation. That is the way it is. It's nothing is a sudden leap. And pay more attention to the recognition of that in them, which. Pay more attention to the recognition of that in them which, having pervaded their little universe with a fragment of itself, remains. So, you know, what is this great being of which we are the emanations and which we essentially are? So rather than look at the personalities seeking to be in some manner transfigured, it pays spiritually to pay attention to the recognition in them of that in them which is the pervader, which is the greater life. That in them which is the pervader, the greater life, the substander, in a way. But wouldn't it be better to say the substanding one? Sounds better. And not identify so much with the part seeking to become the whole. Locate. Locate and isolate the unity which pervades. They will then have anchored their consciousness in the center of transcending power, so becoming the monad in full awareness, eventually, and guaranteed the flow of the will to achieve from that transcending power, from that transcending power. Yes. From that high point of consciousness, imaginatively reached at first and practically achieved later, and it's a really important hint, because we have to always act as if when we're seeking to polarize our consciousness in a higher point of tension. From that high point of in consciousness, imaginatively reached at first and practically achieved later, they would find it useful to work at the process of transmission, knowing themselves to be agents for the transmission of the will to good of the transcendent one, indeed. We're being given a practical technique here, how we instead of struggling from below for transfiguration, how we can work imaginatively from above and realize ourselves to be focused in the center of transcending power. Agents for the transmission of the will to good of the transcendent one. They should next pass on to the stage of transformation, wherein they would visualize and expect to see developed the needed transformation carry forward in their lives. This is so practical, isn't it? I mean, if we didn't understand completely what he was saying before, it is helping us at this point. So we transmit the will to good of the transcendent one, and we, at the point of soul, imagining our point of tension within soul, we pass to the stage of the transformation, where we would visualize and expect to see developed the needed transformation or change in pattern carry forward in their lives. Then, equally expectant, they should believe in the transfiguration of those lives in line with the will of the transcendent one, the transmitting one, and the activity of the transforming one, all of whom are but one, the monad, the self. Sometimes it is said that DK doesn't speak too much of oneness and of the higher states that some of the Buddhists try to achieve without naming them particularly, but he does indeed. All this is done by the use of the will, conditioning, fulfilling, and overcoming. So all these three aspects appear constantly. The three aspects of the will appear with every expression of the will. So, equally expectant, that is the key, you know, because it's a process which really can achieve results within the personality, and we have to have the faith to see that it will be so. They should believe in the transfiguration of those lives in the group, in line with the will of the transcendent one, the success of the transmitting one. That's an interesting word there. So the origin of will is there in the transcendent one, and the, let's call it, successful distribution of the transmitting one, and the activity of the transforming one to re-pattern, all of whom are but the one, the monad, the self, all of whom are that. I've often said that there is nothing but the monad as a point of being in different contained dimensions of being. Its power is successively restricted in these different dimensions. So in transformation, they would visualize and expect to see the needed transformation, change in pattern, and we can call it change in qualitative pattern. And they should expect to see the transfiguration of their lives. In other words, a real change in the form, in the resonance of the pattern they live. They are now reconfigured by being transfigured. The transfiguration, okay, they are reconfigured by being transfigured. They have a different relationship within themselves and to all life, and the glory which was blocked before can pass through. You know, light touches light, and the life experiences glorification. Sometimes we think only in terms of reaching up, but DK is using the occult method and saying, let us identify with the monad, with the one. Let us see our own descent and achieve those higher states towards which we reached, achieve them by descending imaginatively and then practically. Okay. To return to our theme of the greater whole, and this is our theme, the being which we are, which is one with the greater being, leaving behind us for a minute the efforts of the microcosm to comprehend the macrocosm, let us consider the relation of the three constellations in the task of expressing Ray 1. I think what he's going to do, I'm trying to remember, will he go through all of these? Or will he just go through the first three? Because sometimes when dealing with spirit, there are only three to be dealt with. The triangle. The triangle of triangles, the nine. Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. It looks like it. He will only do three. He will not do all four. Maybe leave that to us, or maybe it won't be necessary. When we're talking about the fusion formulas for fusion of soul and personality, he only gives us three words of power to be used, or meditative themes to be used, isolated unity, inclusive reason, and presented attributes, and says the others will be used accordingly. The other ray types will use one or other of these formulas. All on the 246 line, inclusive reason, and the, is it the fifth ray line, will use isolated unity, and the third and seventh presented attributes. It would make sense, of course. The seven is forever presenting in perfected form the attributes which must manifest. So let's look at the three constellations in the task of expressing Ray 1. Aries is the constellation through which initiating conditions will stream into our solar system, breaking the attachment to the old and instituting the new. It embodies the will to create. It's also the will which conditions life, right? The will to create that which will express the will to good. It seems, in a way, here, identified with the third aspect, with the third aspect of divinity. And Capricorn is the will that conquers death, conquers that which creates death for consciousness and being. I don't think you can ever create death for being, but at least fragments the consciousness. So Capricorn, interestingly enough, has a very high meaning in relation to Aries, and sometimes Aries has the high meaning in relation to Capricorn, as when, once we have reached the seventh root race, it is the initiator works with energies from Aries and not Capricorn anymore. But it embodies the will to create that which will express the will to good. So there is this, the ray of creative intelligence is the third ray. And I'm going to make the will to create even a little bigger, just to emphasize this, that which will express the will to good. It is the monadic ray of our planetary logos, and this is the place where we find it. This is the place where we find the rays of our planet. It, well, I don't think we mean that Aries is the monadic ray, but the first ray working through Aries is the monadic ray, whose soul ray is the second and personality ray the third. This is the important statement on which we base many things. Okay. You can note here how the transmitting ray of our planetary logos is the first, and hence the place which the will plays in our human evolutionary process. His transforming ray is the second, and that eventually brings transfiguration through the medium of the third. And in this combination, you see why in the evolution of the will aspect, you have the influence of Mars and Mercury, the one bringing conflict, and the death of form, and the other bringing illumination and the development of the intuition as a result of that conflict and death. Well, I wish I could say that I could say that I absolutely saw this, but I can certainly see the importance of the statement. There are some ambiguities in it. Aries is the constellation through which initiating conditions will stream into our solar system. It embodies the will to create, and which will express the will to good. Now, it, see, this is kind of interesting. The monadic ray, let's see if we can get back here to 610. We'll go one more. You would think that the monadic ray would come from this level. But he seems to be talking about the monadic ray as if it comes from the level of transmission, followed by the soul ray at the level of transformation, followed by the personality ray at the planetary level. So in this way, this is the old assertion of the idea that the zodiac is connected with the monad. You know, this is not as straightforward as it may look, because the word it is the monadic ray of our planetary logos. He cannot mean Aries. He cannot mean Aries, but the first ray as it streams through Aries, it seems to me. It is a first ray constellation, but also a seventh. It's very clear that the soul ray of our planetary logos is the second, and the personality ray the third. But the word it is used strangely, because the first it here refers to Aries, which embodies the will to create, that which will express the will to good. And it, then, we don't know what the second it refers to, but we assume that it refers to the ray of Aries, because otherwise we have it referring to a constellation which is not a ray. So there may be something buried there, but it seems pretty clear that our Earth is the first ray monad. And there may be hints at this in other places. So it is the monadic ray of our planetary logos, whose soul ray is the second and personality ray the third. And we're talking of a ray, definitely, and the only ray left, I think, since we're talking about the will, is the first ray. But the language is peculiar, you have to admit. The will to good is the monadic ray of our planetary logos. There is no ray particularly associated with the will to good. It's just that, the will, the first ray, is associated with the will aspect. And and we are talking of the will aspect always here. Whose soul ray is the second and personality ray the third. You can note here, therefore, And I'm going to go down again because I think I've miscopied something. We're here on page 6. Um, 19. You can note here, therefore. That's what it should be saying. You can note here, therefore, how the transmitting ray, not head, how the transmitting ray of our planetary logos is the first. Well, and I just want to say here, why not the transcending ray? But it seems that the transmitting ray, it seems that the monadic ray is found on the level of the three transmitters. Even though when we go to this other diagram of the individual, the monad is found on the highest level. Perhaps we are speaking of the way in which, oh goodness, the way in which the transcending ray must reach the transmitters and there be transmitted. The spiritual triad is an aspect of the monad. So we may be speaking of the manner in which the transcending ray is transmitted to the transmitters, which then transmitted to the transformers. Somehow that transcending ray has to reach the three agents through which there is transmission. Of course, as I said before, there are times when he speaks of the signs of the zodiac, constellations of the zodiac, as being directly related to the monad, as if they are the energies which condition it particularly. And then the stars operate on the level of the sun and the planets on the level of the third aspect. And hence the place which the will plays in human evolutionary process. Well, although he's not saying it directly, he is not saying the monadic ray of our planetary logos is the first. He is saying that the transmitting ray of our planetary logos is the first. Now, the transforming ray is connected with the soul ray, and the transfiguring ray with the personality ray. So, we have no choice but to conclude that this is, the monadic ray is here called the transmitting ray. We must conclude that the monadic ray of the planetary logos is here called the transmitting ray. But, you know, technically speaking, we have the transcending aspect above the transmitting aspect. And hence the place which the will plays in our human evolutionary process, and it may be that humanity itself has a first ray monad as it grows through the process of destruction of form. His transforming ray is the second, and that eventually his, that is the logos, our planetary logos, is the second, and eventually brings transfiguration through the medium of the third. And this fits, of course, because it is at the third initiation that what we call the transfiguration occurs. And there must be a numerical connection. At the third initiation, transfiguration occurs. The numbers correlate. And in this combination, you have the reason why, in the evolution of the will aspect, you have the influence of Mars and Mercury bringing through Aries. Now, it may be, when it says here, it is, it is the monadic ray of our planetary logos. It may be the first ray as it comes through Aries, which is especially associated with the monadic level of our planet. That would be interesting. Not just that it's the first ray monad, that it is the first ray monad, but the first ray monad connected with Aries. And DK below seems to look at the ruler of Aries as being very important. So in this combination, you have the reason why in the evolution of the will aspect on our planet and through humanity, right? On our planet and through humanity, you have the influence of Mars and Mercury, the two rulers of Aries, which is transmitting the first ray monadically to our planet, the one bringing conflict and death of the form, you know, pulling at us from the other side, non-sacred Mars, giving all kinds of agony and distress and cleavage and friction in the life of the form, and the other bringing from all of this conflict illumination. Illumination arising from all of this conflict. The thing is, when you know as much as DK knows, you can write in a way where you know exactly what you're revealing and exactly what you're veiling. And so as we read through it, we find that it sometimes seems vague or incompletely concrete, and I think this is completely deliberate on the part of one who has a great command of the revealing or concealing power of words. So we have the influence of Mars pulling in one direction towards conflict and the death of form, what should we say, you know, on the battlefield. And the other bringing illumination and the development of the intuition as a result of the conflict and death. Well, it is also the story of Scorpio. We have both the same planets, Mars and Mercury, in Aries as in Scorpio. Aries is lower than Scorpio in one way and higher in another way, because it brings a rising up into the realms of life, per se, a final resurrection. New cycles of being and of consciousness are initiated by conflict. Why is that? Conflict rends the form and frees the consciousness from it. Such seems as yet to be the law of life and the governing factor of evolution. We are so ruled by the frictional cross. So let's see what I have here. Okay. If, however, the result of this initiating, energizing will from Aries, an aspect of the first ray will, the will to creation, is to produce such beneficent effects of intuitive understanding via and the activity of Mercury as the messenger of gods, it can see how truly through conflict how truly through conflict the will to good can be wrought out. So through Mars. I would say there are many understandable things being said here, and some which are maybe not so understandable. But we have a first-ray monad, which is a transmitting energy, having descended somehow into the realm of transmission, especially via Aries in relation to our planet, so it seems. And when we talk about humanity, it is through a Mars and Mercury that the illumination will come. So the will to good is working through these rays and through the constellation Aries and the other first ray constellations, and through the sun and through the planets, especially Mars and Mercury, the two rulers of Aries. We seem to have confined ourselves to Aries, and inducing all manner of death and conflict here below, but bringing about illumination in the last analysis. You can see, you know, why this section of the book is not so often read, or if read, not so often pondered. It is difficult, and it is written in the abstract and requires a great grasp of the evolutionary process, not only from the human angle, but from the planetary angle. I suppose we could wonder, how do we make all of this practical, reaching out so far into the cosmos and speaking of the will of great beings, and even behind it, the will of the one about whom naught may be said. But it really is about the one and the many, the descent and the reascent, and all of creation has as its fundamental pattern the manner in which the one became the many and the many returned to becoming the one. So if we can get that process understood, we will come a long way to understand the origin of the energies, the different states of intensity through which they pass as they are transformed into usable form for the lesser forms which have to receive and assimilate them. And we will have this sense of interconnectedness about that which reaches us and transforms and transfigures our lives. In the descent, it's interesting that transformation is above transfiguration. Usually we have to transform before we can transfigure. That transmutation will no longer be used. The transfiguration follow transformation. And transmutation, let's see how it goes. Right here. Let transfiguration follow transformation, and may transmutation disappear. So if transfiguration follows transformation, that's usually on the upward arc. It's not on the downward arc. And here we have a reversing of the process. Transformation precedes, in the descent, transfiguration. And in the reascent, transfiguration precedes transformation. Well, he has given, as we know, some of the various levels on which these processes are expressed. We're talking here about the descent of the will of a great being. He has an objective, and when we identify with that being in descent, we reach the transfigurative stage at the point where the third ray is being expressed on the planetary level. This is a bit different from transmuting the etheric physical and actually all of the matter of the personality, transforming especially the astral body so that it will respond to buddhi, and then working in the mental plane for a transfiguration which will change us into that type of being whose domain or proper place of expression is the spiritual triad. Leo, this is the constellation through which the will to fulfillment or to achievement pours into humanity and on the planet. So, you know, if we were to look at our original diagram, there is the sun, and then transmission to, let's see, what is the next one? I don't want to raise initiations now. I want esoteric astrology, and approximately 6:10. And it's to the sun. Leo, ruled by the sun, transmits, it appears, to the sun. And maybe also to Neptune, I think, yes, of course. And in a hierarchical sense to Uranus, but at least to Neptune and to the lesser sun, and it passes through Mercury. But the esoteric ruler is Neptune. Really, the sun and Neptune are the only two rulers here we are immediately concerned with. The sun is the source of all these seven. But when we talk about the rulers of Leo, it's got to be the sun itself and Neptune. There may be certain affinities with these other planets, as through Jupiter, let us say, and even through Venus, because sometimes it seems as if the sun, although it rules on all three levels, is veiling in Leo three times, veiling Jupiter at first, Neptune next, and Uranus next. But anyway, the only truly esoteric ruler here listed is Neptune, and in order to get to the sun as the exoteric ruler, the Leo energy has to, in a way, pass through Mercury, so it seems. At least it is thus arranged. Leo, this is the constellation through which the will to fulfillment or to achieve pours into humanity and onto the planet. It is essentially the spirit of self-determination. The determination... I see this. And the determination to fulfill the archetypal pattern of selfhood. It is, at first, the determination of the little self, the personality, the self-conscious individual. Determination that whatever it believes itself to be will express. Right. That whatever the self believes itself to be must be expressed. Its pattern impressed and manifested. The will to good. Now, I guess we're always dealing with the will to good here. Always dealing with the will to good. There are many different kinds of will. The will to good sometimes seems a blend of the first and second rays. The good involves a pattern, and pattern involves the second ray. But it seems behind all of these ray expressions coming through the Great Bear, we have the will to good. Right. Behind all the expressions of will through the seven stars of the Great Bear, we have the will to good. Of what being is this the will to good? Maybe in all this we are dealing with the will to good of the one about whom naught may be said. Certainly there is that kind of will, and it has to do with the fulfillment of the pattern, of the purposeful pattern conceived by that superconstellational, supercosmic logos. This will to good achieved through fulfillment works out in relation to the human being through the medium of three climaxes. Let's see. I'm just trying to see whether this will to good is the general type of will through which we are dealing. This will to good achieved through fulfillment. So I've got it. The will to good can be achieved through creation and through the conditioning of life. The will to good can be achieved through fulfillment. The will to good can be achieved through the conquest of death or of negation. This will to good achieved through fulfillment, this time through fulfillment, because we're dealing with the will to fulfillment, works out in relation to the human being through the medium of three climaxes. What are they? The will to good demonstrated by the achieving of self-consciousness. This is the first stage of completed divine fulfillment. It connotes body, appearance, which at first becomes ego in the lower sense. It is the expression of the third aspect. The will to good through the achievement of, through various achievements and through special fulfillments. So this is a kind of this is kind of fulfillment of the third aspect of divinity. The will to good demonstrated at the third initiation, when self-consciousness gives place to group consciousness. This is very important, an important descriptor of the third initiation. Leo is important here, but so is Aquarius. Leo finds a type of radiant fulfillment at the third degree, but so does Aquarius, one of the signs often associated with the taking of the third degree. This is the second stage of divine fulfillment. Each new realization of selfhood is a divine fulfillment. It connotes soul and quality, and it is the expression of the second aspect. So we can say we have the will to good moving towards fulfillment through the three aspects of three aspects of divinity. Well, I'll just write it. Okay. Let's see what we have here. So the will to good demonstrates at different initiations. It demonstrates that individualization through the creation of the individual. So, body appearance, it is the first stage of self-realization. The will to good demonstrating at the first stage of self-realization. Then the will to good demonstrating at the second stage of self-realization. And finally, the will to good demonstrated in the higher initiations when God consciousness is achieved. And let us call this will be the third stage of self-realization. This is the third stage of divine fulfillment. It connotes monad life. It is the expression of the first aspect. So the will to good demonstrating through three fulfillments. The will to good demonstrating through three fulfillments. Okay. It is useful to see these relationships, and it also must be obvious why the sun rules Leo both exoterically and esoterically. The sun is the symbol of the self, and the types of self which come into realization. The sun reveals or lights up the two stages of the hidden will, the will to be the individual and the will to be the group, the will to be the individual and the will to be the group. The physical sun lighting up the personality upon the physical plane, and the heart of the sun revealing the nature of the soul. So there is a direct connection here between the heart of the sun, I suppose Venus, and then the soul, maybe the physical sun, and one would wonder whether Mars and then the personality, whether these triangles are involved. Well, I think we have reached the point now, but we can say that this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 146 B, page 620. And the beginning. Okay, let's do it right. Beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 146 C, page 620. I think this is where we are. Have we gone that far? 146A, beginning. Okay. And now, somewhere here. I'm just going to have to assume that it is the case. 146B, 615, and then to 620, that is correct. And we will continue because we are just on the verge of taking up Capricorn. I think you can see how many times this will have to be pondered, read, and reread. We dealt quite a bit with Leo, Capricorn, and Sirius, or Leo, Sirius, Capricorn. Now we're dealing with Aries, Leo, and Capricorn. So Aries is the new factor, and it's taking the place of Sirius. At least these are triangles of importance. And he is telling us how the will reaches us via this first-rate triangle. It's going to be a nine-fold explanation, I believe. So let us then go on to the next.